Good morning. We continue in Hebrews 11 this morning, so I invite you to turn there for our exhortation. We're looking at verses 24 through 28. Hebrews 11, 24 through 28. Beginning in verse 24, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." This is God's word. Well, this morning I want to focus mostly on verses 24 through 26 here in the life of Moses. And last week we looked at Moses' parents, their faith in protecting Moses from the wrath of Pharaoh. Moses survived, and by the grace of God, he was brought up not only in the house of Pharaoh, but with the influence of his own parents still present in his life. And as he lived in Pharaoh's house, eventually it came to that time when he grew up, he left. He left Pharaoh's house and joined the people of God. And you'll notice it speaks to the sufferings that he endured when he did so. He left the pleasures of Egypt to suffer with the people of God. And if you look through Hebrews, you will find that the author is often speaking to the suffering of his readers. He's trying to encourage them to persevere through those sufferings. And this is one of those notable examples that helps us to do the same. And so Moses here turned away from sin and joined the people of God. And so I want to focus on two particular aspects of faith this morning. And the first one that we see is, by faith, we turn away from the pleasures of sin. By faith, we turn away from the pleasures of sin. It says in verse 25 that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Think about what Moses' situation was in that household of Pharaoh. He enjoyed all the worldly pleasures that you could get at that point in time. He probably had access to all these things as much as he wanted. This world in which he lived would have been filled with numerous temptations. When you are in the palace, you have the power of the king behind you. You can get what you want. And so Moses had access to the treasures and the pleasures of Egypt. He had access to all these things as much as he wanted. And it says that he made a choice. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God instead of the pleasures of sin. Now, if you present this to a worldly man and say, Moses decided to cast the pleasures away in order to suffer, the worldly man is thinking, why would you do such a thing? Choose suffering over pleasure? That doesn't make any sense of my worldview. My worldview is seek pleasure. The worldview of hedonism, living for pleasure, is what many people do. Whether it's the pursuit of power or the pursuit of pleasure, it's always the pursuit of self, self-fulfillment. In Moses, he turned away from that. He chose the people of God instead. But it involves suffering. And this text does admit that sin is pleasurable to a degree and for a time. It says that sin for a season, or other translations say the temporary pleasures of sin. And so sin is attractive in some ways. It is pleasurable in some ways. It fulfills our desires, but it is short-lived, and the end that it brings is death, according to the Scriptures. As Paul tells us in Romans 6, verse 20, he's reminding his readers of how they sought sin, and he reminds them, don't you know what was coming to you because of those sins? Verse 20, he says, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And that is what sin is, my friends. It is this holding out that Satan gives to us, and he says, this is the pleasure, take this, this is what you want. And yet, it is poison, and it will kill us. It's like being invited to a house for a big banquet, the best food you can imagine, and yet at the end of the meal, you're going to be executed. This is what Scripture actually describes in Proverbs 9, verse 17 through 18. It says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So the meal is pleasant. It's the best array of food you could have. Satan wants to keep you happy and satisfied on that meal as long as he can. And he wants you to get to dessert, too. He wants you to get through the whole meal and to enjoy every bite. But at the end, the executioner is going to come in and he's going to kill you. And this is the table that many eat at. They eat enjoying the pleasures of sin only to experience death at the very end. And this, my friends, is what Moses turned away from. He cast aside the pleasures of sin, the temporary, short-lived pleasures of sin, to suffer with the people of God. And when you view it from that perspective and have an eternal perspective by faith, you see that Moses made the right choice. He chose the right thing. And it wasn't just that Moses was signing up for sufferings. He was signing up for that, but he was signing up for a much greater treasure, real pleasures that he was going to experience with the people of God. And that leads us to our second point about faith from verse 26. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So the second point about faith here is that by faith we are able to perceive true riches, true pleasures that last. Just as the worldly man doesn't understand why you would trade temporary pleasures of sin for suffering, so the worldly man cannot understand why you would want to be insulted and disgraced with Christ, because he doesn't see the true riches of being united to Christ. Why would you turn away from everything that is fun and pleasurable in the world to suffer with the people of God, to receive the reproach of Christ? And our answer is because it's worth it. We look to the reward. This is worth it to do so. And it's not that we've traded the treasures of the world for nothing. Rather, we have traded the treasures of the world for true treasures, lasting treasures, things that really matter. The treasure of Jesus Christ is far greater than anything the world can offer. If you look back in history at some of the saints of the past who have understood the treasure of Christ, there are few that better understood this in terms of the words that they use to describe these things than Samuel Rutherford. You can get his little book called The Loveliness of Christ. And in that book, you have this language used of our Lord that some of us, we just can't quite perceive yet. Perhaps we haven't experienced these things as he had, but he had a great understanding. Consider what he said about the treasures of Christ. He said, my counsel is that you come out and leave the multitude and let Christ have your company. Let them take clay in this present world who love it. Christ is a more worthy and noble portion. Blessed are those who get him. He said, let everybody else have the clay of the world. That's not what we want. We want the better portion, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he speaks of Christ's love. He says, acquaint yourself with Christ's love, and ye shall not miss to find new gold mines and treasures in Christ. But the love of Christ is boundless. It is deep. It is unfathomable to us. And we just have to keep digging and digging, and we will find new treasures there at all times. But it is only by faith that we can perceive these things. It is only by faith that Moses could turn away from the pleasures of Egypt. And so we ask this morning, God, give us eyes to see the true riches, to see the vanity of sin, how worthless it is, how much death it brings to us, and then to see the treasures of Jesus Christ compared with the things of the world. What the world holds out to us is fool's gold, has no ultimate value. It looks like the real thing, but it isn't. It's worthless. And we will only find the true treasures and the true pleasures in Jesus Christ. And so we confess this morning that the treasures of this world have sometimes appealed to us. We have been fooled by the fool's gold of the world. And we have not seen the treasures of Christ. And so I encourage you, as you confess your sins, to confess these things. And may we cry out to God together to turn away from the pleasures of sin that are short-lived, and find true pleasures and treasures in Christ. Let's pray. O gracious Heavenly Father, we do confess that we have fallen prey to the pleasures of sin. We have sometimes valued the treasures of Egypt far above the riches that you offer and hold out to us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see that sin brings death, and that whatever pleasures it may bring, they are nothing compared to a time of eternal suffering. Help us, O Lord, by faith to turn away from these things and to see the value of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and also of Him, the King, who has saved us and redeemed us. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.